Welcome to the IP 360 podcast, brought to you by IP Private Wealth. This podcast talks about wealth, health, and all the different ways we measure our success. It's a true 360-degree look at how we manage our wealth. Today, we talk with Dr. Catherine Horvath, registered psychologist and founder and executive director of the Ottawa Center for Resilience. We talk today about life after divorce, blended families, do's and don'ts. Let's go to the interview. We're back again with Dr. Catherine Horvath, founder and executive director of the Ottawa Center for Resilience. And today we are talking about blended families and life post-divorce, what happens next in terms of new relationships and potentially new siblings. Dr. Horvath, thank you for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. My pleasure.
So let's just like roll right into it. At some point post-divorce, there's a very high likelihood that one or both of you is going to start dating again and possibly enter into a serious relationship. And It's rarely, I think, at the timing that both would expect, right?
Yeah. And it really actually becoming a step family tends to be harder and take more time for children than adjusting to the divorce.
Right. Exactly. So let's say, well, first let's ask about dating. So, you know, early, a year from divorce, 2 years from divorce, whatever the case may be, I think it's pretty common to hear that initial shock of finding out that your ex is dating someone, seriously dating someone enough that the kids are meeting them, et cetera, can be a shock probably for you and also for the children. So what's some advice around that, that introduction process, and how does the other spouse cope with that introduction?
Yeah. So I think going back to one of the things we talked about in our previous episode about including each other as co-parents in decisions, introducing your children to a new partner is a pretty major parenting decision. So you should really be discussing that with the other parent. Not that you're not asking for permission. You have made a decision that this is a person you want to be spending more serious time with, and you want them to know your kids. But I think it is important to reach out to the other parent and say, hey, I have someone I want the kids to meet, and how should, let's talk about how to do this. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal. I recognize that doesn't always happen, but if you could do that, that would be really great, because then also what that allows is it allows the other parent to have the information, have a heads up, and have their own personal reactions as the ex who maybe hasn't moved on yet or isn't, thinking about that before they are having to support their kids in dealing with it. And I think that that's really important, to not blindside your co-parent and then have them have to deal with all of their own reaction at the same time that their kids are having all those reactions.
Yeah. And in this case, we're talking about blended families. So, in our imaginary situation, this new partner also comes with children of their own. So, one of the questions I would want to ask right away is, should that be a group introduction, or should the first introduction, let's say it's my new partner who has children, do I introduce my new partner to my children first and later his children or her children, or do what we kind of do a big group meet?
I would say generally it would make sense to introduce just the person, the other adult, and give the kids a bit of a chance to check that person out before the next step. But I also think that you could ask your kids what they'd like. You could let them know, mom or dad is like, I've started dating someone. I have a new boyfriend or girlfriend. And I'd really like you to meet them. They also have their own children. How do you want to do this? What do you feel comfortable with? What would be reasonable? And giving them, I think when you have to ask kids to make some of these really tough decisions that are outside of normal experience, like it's not like they've ever had to do this before, that you give them a menu of options. So letting them know what are some of the ways this could work, and sort of saying like, they could just come by and say hi for 5 minutes and then leave. We could go to the park together. So something as small as that, right up to they could come over for dinner. They could, et cetera, et cetera.
And typically when kids get to meet another set of kids that are going to be, in their circle now, because, this new partner is in our domestic circle, and now their children will be around too, is it typically met with excitement, trepidation, or is there kind of a full gamut of emotions depending on your children's sort of personality style?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different individuals and their own stuff that's going to interact there, so it's hard to say. I mean, as a very general piece of information based on research, we do know that generally children 8 or younger have an easier time transitioning into step families, blended families, and generally so do boys tend to have an easier time than girls.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do they know why?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, happy or otherwise. So let's say my kids meet my new partner and they like him a lot, but they're not so sure about the kids. How do we kind
Yeah.
of balance, or how do we kind of mitigate that situation, or find some way around that, or to cope with that?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, the first stage, ideally, the first stage would be we're getting to all know each other and we're not all living together yet. So, I mean, some of that is, I think, so some of that would be ensuring that all the kids have guarded individual time with their biological parents. So they don't feel like they're losing out or they're losing their parent because of all these new relationships. So they feel like that's not being threatened. That's going to help them have kind of that secure base to navigate some of these new experiences and feelings and frustrations. So that's really important. Because, you know, for an adult, you know, and maybe you were in a marriage you weren't very happy in, maybe you've actually been single for a long time, you know, and you're in a new romantic relationship, and that tends to be a pretty intense time, right? Where you really want to spend a lot of time with that person. You need to keep in mind that that's not where your kids are at. And so you really need to put them and their needs first. And so although you might be like, oh, let's get together with new boyfriend or girlfriend every time the kids are with me, kids are not probably going to want that.
Right. And if they're, let's say that my children are comfortable and they're warming to, or they even really like my new partner, but they're just not jiving. Like let's say his kids are really into sports and mine are into art and books, and they just can't seem to find, and they play too rough and we don't like that. And I mean, obviously there's some just dynamics that they need to work out spending some time together, but is that sort of, if my child kind of poses that to me as a deal breaker, I don't like that kid, so I don't think you should date that guy, or I don't want to be a family with this kid, is that a fair request by my child, or how do I cope with that?
So I think it's like some of the other topics we've discussed in that ultimately your decision about who you're in a relationship with is your decision. It's an adult decision. And so it's not your child's decision who you are in a relationship with, but your child's experience and feelings matter and they should matter to you and you should be taking them into consideration. And so you need to let your kid know like that you hear them and it's important to them and you will think about it and you're listening to them, but it ultimately will be your decision. And that maybe there are ways that you can see about addressing that, right? Like, so that they don't, you know, creating opportunities for the two sets of children to get to know each other better, but also allowing them to have, like, not to force it. And to be like, you know what, it's okay. You don't all need to be best buddies. And you are all important to us, and we will respect your boundaries and your pacing and give you space. You know, we will occasionally do things as a whole family, and but you're not, you know, you're not going to have to share a room. Like, I wouldn't, that's something sometimes you'll see, like, you're not going to have to suddenly share a room with one of these kids. You know, you're still going to get to be your own person with your own friends and your own interests, and I'm still going to be available for those.
Yeah, so let's fast forward to that point in this, you know, fictional history where you're actually starting the process of cohabitating. And so now there's going to be times where both of you with your, you know, childcare arrangements are, all the kids are in the house together, and things start to become a truly a blended family. What are some of the sort of pitfalls or things we should be watching for?
So one of the most important things, and this often gets missed, is that the biological parents should be the ones parenting and disciplining their biological children, not their stepchildren, for quite a while. Eventually, the step parent may be able to take on more of a parental role, but that you should not start like that. It's almost universal that when step parents join a family, they want to set more limits and boundaries with the stepchildren. They feel like the original parent is letting those kids run wild, and they want to come in and fix it and put rules and be the heavy. And the parents of the children want more love and understanding for their children. The goal is not to get to a place where the two of you feel the same way, because you probably won't. It's really for you to kind of take a breath and slow down and try to understand each other. But really the most important thing is that parents retain the disciplinary role until step parents have formed a caring, trusting relationship with the stepchildren.
Yeah. And so that's specific to discipline, or structure. What about, let's say I need to go, take care of my mom for the day. And now there's going to be opportunities for my new partner to be taking care of all the kids at once, or whatever. Maybe they all go to Cosmic Adventures together, whatever, they go out for the day. And so, like, on the fly, there's moments where that partner needs to obviously make sure people are safe and in control, and, you know, and good choices are made on, you know, no, you're allergic to cheese, you can't have the pizza, you have to have this. You know, is that something that could happen relatively early on during, say, an outing, stuff like that? Or are we looking at, how long are we looking at before I can say, like, step away to do some errands, go grocery shopping, come back?
Yeah, I don't think there's a clearer time frame for that. I think you have to take it on a case by case basis based on your kids and how they're responding, and allowing them to have input into that. But, you know, the guide for step parents is connection before correction. So if you are in a situation, you know, if the family relationship has progressed to a point where, you know, you're going to be with the kids for the day doing something and the other parent is going to be around and stuff's going to happen, you know, like you said, there's the moment to moment issues. I mean, of course, if there's an immediate risk of safety, then, you know, you have to intervene to stop that. But otherwise, you shouldn't really be getting involved in disciplining. You should be focusing on connecting with the kids. And then, you know, if there really is something that requires discipline, that's something that will be, you know, dealt with when the other parent comes home. It is helpful for step parents to find ways to start spending one-on-one time with the stepchildren when they're open to it, in amounts they can tolerate, to start building that relationship. Because, you know, it's also, the other thing is, once a step parent moves in, right, like really joins the family, the kids are actually going to have the children are going to have an increased need for their step parent, for their parents, when their step parents are around. And so for a while, step parents are going to feel pushed aside because the parent-child relationships are going to sort of need to dominate until the kids settle with this new experience. And that's okay. Like, that's actually healthy.
Is there ever trouble adjusting for the parent when the new partner, the new sort of step parent, might end up in a favored role, like because they're not doing discipline and they're kind of, you know, maybe they get to take the cosmic, but they don't have to tell them to do their homework, that there's actually some preference given to that step parent. And can that cause friction or internal struggle for the biological parent?
Absolutely. And I think you just need to remind yourself, like, this is the best case scenario, and kids do best when they have positive relationships with all the adults in their lives. And how cool that my kid has this other adult, additional adult in their life who they have a positive relationship with. That's always good for us. The more positive relationships kids have, the better. And you know, you have to find your supports out, you know, out of the eyes of your children, because you are going to sometimes feel like, well, I'm the one who gets stuck with all the crappy parenting parts, right? While he or she gets to be the cool step parent. But it is what it is. And I think you have to resist the urge to undo that, because it's really good for your kids.
Right. That makes sense. How about in terms of, I'm going to give this guy a name because I just feel like we're doing a lot of person A, person B. So how about, you know, Brad Pitt moves in and he's got his kids. And
All eight of them.
And I mean, this is kind of a perfect example for my question, but, you know, they're all coming in and they all have their individual Nintendo Switches and they've got a different bedtime than my kids do. And they're allowed more freedoms on the internet than mine. I mean, we're not looking, so we've already established, I'm not going to try and discipline Brad's kids or impose my family structure on, or my parenting structure on his kids, but how do I help my kids understand that there's a difference and that it's just going to be this way?
That's a great question and very tricky. So ideally, that should actually be addressed before everybody moves in. So like, really, those are conversations that, you know, you and Brad should be having, like, wow, I've seen how you run stuff at your house with your kids, and it feels really different than how I run stuff. I'm kind of concerned about how we're going to blend this. And like, realistically, we can't have two totally different sets of routines and rules for all the kids. And then of course the other piece is you and Brad both have ex-partners who are your co-parents with your kids. So you can't, neither of you can necessarily be wildly changing things without consulting them too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this sounds crazy, but it's not unheard of. And I think it should maybe happen more to, you know, get some sort of a mental health professional, someone who supports families like this, and sit down with all the four adults. Like, you know, if we were talking, you know, both parents are recoupled and you're wanting to blend all the families, like, it's not, you know, the craziest idea to get together and come up with some things you can agree on to hold consistent across the homes, and then things that you can let go and give leeway on. Because, yeah, otherwise it does become a bit of a nightmare, right?
Mm-hmm. Are there any really common troubles with blending families that we haven't covered yet?
So I think I've emphasized a lot about how important it is that the divorce and the adult relationships remain in the adult realm, and that the kids are not talked to about that, and that information isn't shared. So I certainly, what you can see is that, so let's say you have talked extensively to Brad about how your divorce went and how you're frustrated with your ex, maybe up until present. And he's talked to his kids about it. And now his kids tell your kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly something where, you know, if you have a new partner, you're going to need to really be clear and work with them around, this is how we have approached our divorce, because it may be pretty different from how he's approached his divorce. And I need you to do the same in our home with our kid, with my kids.
Mm-hmm. So there's, that makes sense.
I feel like what it kind of keeps coming back to is, like, there are a lot of conversations that need to be happening, you know, around all of these. And if those conversations are happening and continuing to happen, it'll be okay. People will work stuff out. It's when we kind of avoid it and think like, oh, we're just going to do this and see what happens and then deal with the fallout.
It reminds me a little bit of watching children play an imaginary game where along the way they're playing a game, they set some rules together, and then somehow the rules don't work properly. And then they come back and they go, okay, new rule, we have to do it like this. And it's a little bit like that, isn't it? You're establishing a new board game, a new game, a new set of rules.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, really, what the bottom line is that forming a step family is not an event. It's a process, and it almost never really ends, right? So you're doing really well if you're having those preemptive conversations, but you also need to understand that having those conversations doesn't mean everything's going to work either, and that you're not going to need to have work conversations and rejig things along the way.
Yes, that makes sense to me. Any last advice for parents dealing with a blended family situation before we wrap up here today? I have one last kind of burning question, which
Sure.
is let's say that I've split with my ex, and that my ex is at the point where he's got a new partner and they're getting close and the kids are spending time with her. And I keep hearing about how awesome she is, and possibly even things like the mom, dad gets along with her really well. They never yell. How do I frame that? Not just for myself. I mean, there's obviously a part there where I need to work through probably a little bit of insecurity and jealousy, but the part around role modeling a relationship, a different relationship for my kids. This new couple is doing that, and that they're learning from comparing my previous relationship with their dad to this new one. Is that a positive, negative? How can I frame that so that it is a positive in their heads and it's not a uncomfortable competitive comparison?
Yeah, it's 100% a positive. And I mean, I think you just have to ask yourself, like, aren't you happy that your children aren't being exposed to relational adult relationship conflict? Like, isn't that nice for your kids to be in a home where the two adults are getting along? Like, it's sad that it wasn't possible that that was you and their father. But why would you? Like, I think, sure, is there a little part of us that will feel a little like annoyed and jealous that, like, well, how come he can do it with her and he couldn't do it with me? But that, yeah, that's your stuff. And you need to, like, if you're putting your kids first, you need to remember this is good for my kids. It's nice for my kids to be in a home where people are happy and they enjoy spending time with each other. And I think it's okay to say to your kids, like, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that. And I'm happy if you can manage it and it's genuine to even be able to say, like, and I'm really happy for your dad and new girlfriend. And
Yeah. It sounds to me like there's an underlying theme here that a lot of you talk about it being more of a marathon, not a sprint, right? And that along the way, there's a lot of places where, as a parent, you can be emotionally triggered by the next step.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like one of the most important things is it's, kind of funny because we're thinking, as I'm asking you questions, we're talking about how can I support my child? What should I say to my child? But there's a huge part here, which is how do I support myself and deal with my stuff so that when that next step hits, I don't register complete shock and fall apart as my child tells me something, which is a good thing, but at the time hits me like a ton of bricks.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, really, I guess, yeah, the take-home message is probably one of the best things you can do for your kids, whether you're divorced or not, is own your own shit and take care of it and not make it theirs.
That
I don't
sounds
know if
like that
you
sounds
can
like a
cut that if
great.
you want.
We're not going to cut that because it's perfect. Yeah, no, that's the message. That's the takeaway for sure. Amazing. Well, Dr. Catherine Horvath, founder and executive director of the Ottawa Centre for Resilience. Thank you for joining us again. Where can people learn more?
They can check us out on our website, which is ocfr.ca.
Amazing. Thanks again, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the IP360 podcast. We look forward to hearing more from Dr. Catherine Horvath in the future. If you'd like to reach out to us here, you can email us at comms@ipprivatewealth.com or head to ipprivatewealth.com for more information on the IP360 philosophy to wealth management. And we'll see you next time. And now for the fine print. The guidance provided herein is for general information purposes only and is not intended to serve as advice for one specific situation. Viewers and listeners are encouraged to contact IP Private Wealth, Inc. for a private consultation.